As I'm sure most of you know, Father Yurok was raised on a hog farm, right? And so he loves incorporating pigs into all his sermons, and our rectory is full of paintings of pigs and pig statues. And you know, I also grew up on a farm, but I grew up raising goats and sheep, so I'm not particularly attached to pigs, right? Because goats and sheep are a lot cleaner, they don't smell as bad, and they're not going to eat you if you fall over in their pen, you know? Like, that's pigs, and there's no guarantee. But for as much as I'm not particularly fond of pigs in general, I have to admit, you have to give it to them, they are an incredibly special creature. Just really of mythical proportions. I mean, it's almost as if, like, they have a superpower that you would only expect to find in a fairy tale. I mean, they can turn Brussels sprouts and broccoli and any other kind of garbage into bacon. You know, I mean, think about it. Like, that's the process. It goes in Brussels sprouts and it comes out bacon. It's like Rumpelstiltskin turning straw into gold. You know, it's a pretty awesome power. So you got to hand it to pigs. You know, it's one of God's greatest creations. Got to be. But so this idea though of like transforming something into something else, something that might not necessarily be so great, into something awesome. Do we have that same kind of power, you and I? Okay, maybe not making bacon per se, but absolutely we do. And St. Paul talks about that a little bit in his first reading today. So he's writing, he's going to visit the church in Antioch, right? And the church in Antioch is a persecuted church. They're already, both the Jews and the Gentiles are shunning Christians. They're already very much persecuted. It's getting to the point of shedding their blood. So our first reading says, so Paul and Barnabas, they strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, now what do you think would fill in this blank? What do you think St. Paul and Barnabas would strengthen the faith of the disciples and convince them to persevere in their faith? You think it would be something like, don't worry, guys, it's going to get better. You know, God is the God of all power. He's gonna wipe these guys out. He's going to take away all the wrong. Don't worry, it's going to be great. Just hold on. You would think that's what he would say, right? That's what, you know, some of the TV evangelists tell us, the prosperity gospel. You know, if you love God and he loves you, you're going to be rich and all your worries will be taken away. But that's not what St. Paul says. St. Paul says, in order to strengthen their spirits and exhort them to persevere in the faith, he says, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It's necessary for us to undergo hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Welcome on board, guys. Come on. The water's great and freezing cold. You're going to undergo hardships. Expect it. That is his word of encouragement to this suffering church. Wow. It's kind of a tough dose of reality here. But he's not saying anything that Jesus didn't. If you wish to be my disciples, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Brothers and sisters, the essence of being a Christian, part of the reality, it's necessary to suffer. It's necessary to endure hardships. So, the question is then, how do we do that as a Christian? How do we not treat suffering as Brussels sprouts and to turn it into something beautiful? To turn suffering, hardships, misery into glory? How do we do that? Think of St. Therese of Lisieux, right? She died of tuberculosis at the age of 24. And as she's lying on her deathbed a couple of days before she died of tuberculosis, which is an extremely painful disease, she said, I've reached a point where I can no longer suffer. I can no longer suffer because to me all suffering is sweetness. In the midst of dying of tuberculosis, that suffering had become sweetness for her. But you don't get to that point overnight. She didn't just wake up one morning and have that ability to see her suffering as sweetness, to be able to accept it with love. She did it every single day of her life. And the small ways, the small and significant sort of trials. There was a story of her when she was washing clothes beside another nun, and this other nun kept splashing her in the face with the dirty water. And she wanted to say something to this other sister and say, "Hey, could you cut it out? You know, you're getting me in the face." And then she realized, hey, this is an opportunity to offer up this annoyance. And so she did. In order to be able to get to that point where on your deathbed you can say all suffering is sweetness, you first have to do it every single day in the small ways, like St. Therese. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, suffering for its own sake, it's not what we're talking about. We're not sadists. We don't want to inflict pain and injury on ourselves just because it's for its own sake. I mean, and even we look forward to the day when we don't have to suffer anymore. That's what our second reading is all about. That's what we hear in the book of Revelations. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, wailing, or pain, for the old order has passed away. That's what we look forward to. But in the meantime, while we are in this veil of tears, suffering, hardship is a reality. But it's not optional. One way or another, we're going to face it. Whether it's just an annoyance of you know, a traffic jam that you just have to kind of grit and bear through it, all the way up to watching a loved one die of cancer. We don't have much of a choice whether or not we encounter suffering, but we do have a choice in what we do with it. We have a choice whether we accept it and embrace it or reject it and simply grit and bear through it on our own. And when it's accepted and united to the cross of Christ, and you're no longer carrying that cross alone, that's when it becomes sweetness. That's the transformation from trash into glory. And it's a tall task. It's a tall order that we're called to. I think of St. John Vianney. I just got back from France. I was spending 5 days on retreat there in Ars with St. John Vianney. And there was a little chapel there on the side that he would pray in this chapel every day. And one of his daily prayers was, "Lord, I willingly accept and embrace all the sufferings you have destined for me this day. I willingly accept it all, but grant me the conversion of my parish. I willingly accept it for the conversion of my parish." Mom and Dad, have you made that prayer for your kids? I willingly accept the pain and suffering, the cross, the trials of today, the annoyances, the grievances, for the conversion of my children. Lord, I will accept whatever it is you offer me, but grant their conversion. And then all the suffering, all of a sudden, that kind of suffering isn't just something we grit and bear through. It becomes fruitful. You know, if the saints are right, when we get to the end of our life, one of our greatest regrets will be the missed opportunities to offer suffering to the Lord, to make it redemptive. I think, you know, it'll be when we finally get to that point and understand what we have been given in suffering, it'll be like the guy who accidentally throws his wallet in the trash, you know, and then he's digging through the trash trying to find something because there's something valuable there, right? Oh yeah, there's something valuable here. Do not allow the opportunities for suffering to slip past you. They're already being presented to you daily. And if it's been more than a day or two since you've offered something up, chances are you're missing the opportunity. And in terms of stewardship, right, we're a diocese of stewardship. And with our definition, our understanding, the grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts and shares these gifts of love and God and neighbor, right? All the school kids could tell you that definition. But when we think of stewardship, a lot of times we kind of just put it into these three little boxes of time, talent, and treasure. And if it doesn't fit nicely and squarely into those boxes, we don't really think about it. I'd like to challenge that assumption in terms of treasure. All right, so maybe you're not rich. Maybe you can't write a check for $100,000, okay. But are you rich in suffering? Do you have something to offer the Lord in your trials? Or are you just letting it slip past you? Can you offer a stewardship of suffering to the Lord, to unite yourself to Him, and to make that a prayer? I think so. To close, I'd just like to share with you one of my favorite quotes on suffering from St. Sebastian Valfrey. He said, "When it's all over and done with, you will not regret having suffered. Rather, you will regret having suffered so little and suffering that little so poorly."